wisdom and man's wisdom. Repeated several different ways as we've been looking at this, Paul addresses to the church at Corinth, you need to trust God and God's way instead of trusting man and man's way of doing things. And he says very clearly that many times man thinks God's way doesn't make sense. It's foolishness. But Paul says it's not foolishness. It's the power of God that changes life. It's God that makes the difference. It's understanding those truths. Now as we come to verse 10, we're going to see this thought of not being a shallow believer. Not being a shallow believer. Paul addresses here the church at Corinth and says that your desire ought to be to understand and to know spiritual things. To be spiritually mature, spiritually growing, to know the things that God wants you to know. One of the most important things we can know is that we know God and understand God. Now you say, preacher, that sounds impossible. How can we know God the way we ought to know God? How can we understand God? No man can understand God. How do we know the mind of God? Are we mind readers that we can read the mind of God? How many ever wish you could be a mind reader sometimes? Especially with your spouse, to know exactly what they mean when they're saying it, right? Now, no, you don't want to? It's better not to, all right. But this idea here is we can understand and know. Well, how is this possible? This sounds impossible. But in this portion of Scripture, Paul's going to address the church at Corinth and let them know there's a way for you, there's a way for me to understand and know spiritual things, to dig deeper into the Word of God, to know the deep things of God, to know what God wants us to know. We are in a time where many individuals are very shallow. There's no deep roots in the things of God. That is why when every wind of doctrine comes about, we're blown about like the chaff that Psalms talks about. So what's this idea of knowing spiritual things? I tell you, you met some people who say, well, that's great for them to understand spiritual things. You just give me my get out of jail free card and I'm okay. I don't want to be bothered by any of the other stuff. I don't want to be known any of this other stuff. That's for the scholars. That's for the individuals that study the Word of God. That's for them. Just give me my baby food and I'll be okay. We sometimes remember those old days where Mama would get that baby food jar out, Brother Rich, and she would take that and she would stir it. And that smell when you took that lid off would just, ugh, you're ready just to barf before you even touch the stuff, right? But she would take this, and she would do like this. And put it in your mouth, and spoon feed you to eat it. And as long as that was that way, you would get it. But you never wanted it yourself. You never wanted to get it yourself. And here, Paul's addressing the church at Corinth. And saying, you need to understand the spiritual things that God has for us. God wants each of us to grow. What the problems the church of Corinth was facing, there was difficulties in the church. That's the common theme we've been looking at. There's difficulties in the church of Corinth because they weren't understanding the spiritual things God has for them. Be able to please stand with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read verse 10 through verse 16. We'll pray and we'll get into this message this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word, and we ask this morning that you would illuminate your scriptures to us. Lord, that you would empower this speaker this morning. And Lord, that we would hear your words this morning. Work into our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. You may be seated. As we look at this idea of don't be shallow, discerning the deep things of God, look with me in verse number 10 and verse number 11 of our text. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now let's stop there just for a moment. We see the announcement. We see the reveal. Paul says in just verse 9, back up to verse 9 that we looked at last week. Verse 9 says, but as written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And now he says, all right, man's struggling with understanding the things that God has for him. Now Paul says, here's the announcement. You're struggling understanding the deep things of God, but here's the announcement I want you to understand. God has given you the Spirit, and the Spirit will reveal the truth to you. The announcement is this: you can understand and know the things of God. Paul says that the Holy Spirit searches all things in the deep things of God and helps us to understand them. There are many things we can learn from the Bible. You know, there's a lot of smart people out there that have read the Bible, but they're spiritually ignorant. They understand every date. They can tell you every date. This AD, this happened, and this BC, this happened. This took place here, this took place here. There was this that happened, this was happened. This took place in this exact location, this exact area in Israel and Jerusalem. This happened, all this happened. They can give you all the information. They can quote you all the facts. They can give you all the data, all the information, yet they're spiritual ignorant. They don't have a spiritual understanding. Because we can read words, but it is the Holy Spirit that will reveal his truth to us. Paul says this: there's a lot of people that are religious that don't understand what is being spoken to you. How many have ever been somewhere before and other people say, oh, that was great, and you go, I have no clue what that person just said. Anyone ever been there before? All right? How many of you ever sit in some type of lecture or some type of thing, and they talk about, and they use all these fancy words, and they give you all these big terms, and they talk about this, and they even want to bring out the Greek, and they give you all these case endings, amenetiousi, and they tell you all these things, and they give you all this stuff, and woo! And some people go, wow, glory, wonderful. And you go, How many have a kid like that? You try to talk to your kid, and you try to get them to understand something, Rich. And you tell them, could you imagine having Rex as a kid, and you're trying to tell him stuff, and he looks at you with that blank look on his face like, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, all right? What Paul is saying is, some of you are struggling in this church. Some of you are struggling with the difficulties and the things that you're facing because you don't have a spiritual understanding of what is being taught to you. You can't handle what's being taught to you. But let me tell you, the announcement is this. You don't have to stay spiritual ignorant. Because I have given you and I am announcing that you can understand the Word of God. Do you want to know something? You don't have to have a big degree today to understand the Word of God. Now, if you want education, education's okay. I'm not trying to demean education. But But do you know you don't have to have a doctorate degree to be able to read the Bible? You don't have to have a doctorate degree to understand what God is trying to teach you on a spiritual level so you can grow and live for Him. You don't have to have all these initials and all these letters after your name to understand the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have to have the greatest intellect or the greatest knowledge base of information to be able to understand spiritual things. The announcement is this: everyone has the same ability and same tool that is given to them once they are saved, be able to understand the scriptures. You ever notice in a church, sometimes some of the most spiritual-minded people, spiritual mature people, aren't the most intelligent people? Don't take this the wrong way. But I want you to understand that. Because it doesn't matter how smart you are. Do you know some of the smartest people I found, spiritually-minded people, are those that never even graduated from high school? And they don't. They read the Bible, and they understand it. And then I met some people that have graduated with a bunch of degrees, and they read the Bible and says, I don't know what that even says. It doesn't make sense to me. I know the words, but I don't know what it says. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals. The announcement is this. Paul says, the Holy Spirit's revealed. But look at verse 11. It says, but God hath, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. He's going to search it. He's going to bring to light. He's going to give you the deep things of God, not the shallow things. He's going to give you what you need so you can grow. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Not only in the announcement of the spiritual things, but the discernment of truth. Now, it's saying this. The Spirit is going to discern and give you the understanding. The Spirit is given. It is given there. The announcement's revealed. The Spirit will show you. Now the Spirit will show you. He will help you discern what the truth is. Now, let's say this. How many of you read something and you seek God and you want God to reveal it to you, but you still don't always have an understanding of things? Do you know there's some stuff in Scripture we will not know, will not be fully revealed to us till we get to heaven, all right? We're not going to know everything. But do you know what it's talking about? God is going to discern and God is going to show you through the Holy Spirit what you need to live that Christian life that He's called us to. He's saying God's going to discern, God's going to give you understanding. Well, what's some scripture? What are we talking about here? Put this down to us. Make this make sense to us. All right. The Bible says, faith without works is dead. Portion of scripture we all know. Now, spiritual discernment is this. As I'm spiritually minding, asking God to help me search the scriptures and get the deep understanding of the Word of God, I realize that portion of scripture in the context in which it's talking about is not saying I have to have works to be saved, but it's saying by my fruit I am known. If I'm truly in faith and I'm truly in Christ Jesus, I'm going to live a life that is pleasing in His sight. That's spiritual discernment. The announcement is, yes, it can be revealed to you. The discernment is, yes, it's not just revealed, but you can have an understanding of what Scripture is. How many of you like books? All right? How many of you had to read books back when you were in school, high school or college, and you didn't want to read the books you had to read, but you had to read them? And how many read them so you could get the credit, but you were done when you were reading them, and you don't have any more understanding of what you read before you read it than after you read it? All right? You know what I'm talking about. The spiritual discernment is this. God gives you the deep understanding when you read the Scripture. He reveals to it to you. And it's not just words on a page. A lot of times we come to the God's Word. We'll read God's Word. We'll even so-called study God's word, but we've never asked the Holy Spirit to illuminate or to discern or to show us the truth he wants us to get. You see, this is why you can be in the same building, hear the same message, and you walk out and say, I got nothing out of that message. And someone else said, man, that was the greatest message I've ever heard in my life because it changed my life. It had an impact on me. Do you know what the difference is? The difference is what? That you asked and God discerned and God showed you spiritual truths that you needed to take and apply to your hearts and lives. He showed you the deep things of God. He showed you what God wants you to get. You know what we blame when we don't get discerning truths and we don't get truths? That preacher must have had an off day. What's his problem? We pay him that much money. He should at least have a good message once in a while. I mean, what's his problem? I tell you, I'm going to go find another church because I'm not getting fed. You know why we're not getting fed? Yeah, the preacher can be boring. I understand that. He can be not pleasant to look at. I understand that. I can understand all those things. But you know why we don't get it? Because we're not asking the Holy Spirit to search the scriptures, to give us a deep understanding of the scriptures, to discern the word of God to us, and show us what truth he wants us to get. One of the teachers in college that I learned the most with was the most boring teacher I ever heard in my life. Now, I guess in his prime he was good, but his name was Dr. Burns. Dr. Burns was 80-some years old when I had him. He was partially retired, semi-retired. He could not walk much. He couldn't do much. He sat on a stool. He had a podium in front of him. And I had him for class. And he taught like this. Now, he didn't read. He had it all up here. He knew everything. The guy was the most intelligent person I've ever met in my life. But for 45 minutes, you sat there and you heard him. But do you know, out of all my classes, I probably got more out of that class than I did other classes. Because it didn't have to do with the speaker. It had to do with the individual saying, Lord, show me, discern for me. Lord, give me the understanding that I need from your word. I don't want to be shallow. I want to be deep. I want to hear the truth of God. I want God to work in my heart and my life. You see, the announcement, the discernment. But look at verse 12. This all goes hand in hand. By the way, this is all introduction to get into what we're going to get into. Verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. We see now the dependency upon the Holy Spirit. The dependency upon the Holy Spirit. He's saying this, all right, I am giving you not the spirit of this world. You are now a child of God. Now you have the spirit of God that indwells within you. Now, we understand in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is different or was done differently than it was in the New Testament. We understand when Jesus Christ was crucified and went up to heaven, he says, I'm going to send you another comforter. And that comforter is going to be the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches once we are saved now that the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in the life of the believer. And as the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in the life of the believer, we have the Holy Spirit who leads us, guides us, and directs us. The Holy Spirit is there with us, and he reveals this truth. And he's saying this, I have not given you the spirit of this world, but I've given you the spirit of God. I've given you this tool that you can use, and you must depend upon this tool. You know what we depend upon a lot of times when we try to understand God's word? Other men. Now, please understand what I'm going to say. I believe there's a time for us to look at other things. I have a bunch of commentaries in my office. I have a bunch of books in my office. If you ever want to borrow one, feel free. Come borrow them. It's good. But prepare for messages, I'll be honest with you, I don't rely on those. I might use those for some background, some information to confirm what I'm studying or what I'm doing. I look at some things to get some help and understanding of some words and different things. But do you know what we need to rely upon and depend upon? Is the Holy Spirit to teach us, to illuminate us, to show us His Word. Because those books aren't inspired. But this book is inspired. And the Holy Spirit will illuminate, and I must depend upon Him to show me the truths that He wants me to get. I depend upon Him. That's why when I go to study and I go to read the God's Word, not just for messages, my personal devotions, my personal time in the Word of God. As I go there, I ask Him every time. And I usually, if you watch when I pray in church, I usually say before I preach, Lord, illuminate your scriptures to us. Why? And Lord, I want your power. Lord, I want your strength. Lord, I want your words, not mine. Why? Because our dependency ought to be upon who? The Holy Spirit. Do you know? No one in this room can be the Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever tried to be the Holy Spirit for someone else before? You know what I'm saying? You know what that person should do, and you tell them and you reveal to them. No, the Holy Spirit is the one that reveals, and we need to be dependent upon Him. Not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God. We need not the understanding that the world's going to give us. We need understanding that only the Holy Spirit can give us. Don't depend upon what the world says is right. Depend upon what the Spirit of God said is right. Don't depend upon all this human philosophy that's going out in this world. Depend upon the truths of God's Word and the Holy Spirit that reveals and shows you it. Well, preacher, I know this is what you teach. And I know this is what the Bible supposedly says. But our world teaches this. Our world shows this as being acceptable. Even Christian preachers say this is acceptable and that's acceptable. Don't trust the spirit of this world. Follow and depend upon the Spirit of God. Follow what God's Word says and what God reveals to us and God shows you for your life so you can live that spiritual Christian life. Look at verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We see now the direction of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot in this verse. I want you to look at this verse. We're going to break this verse up a little more. I want you to see this. As you look at verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth. We have to understand we can't base things on man wisdom. Has he not hit this already? All the way up to this portion of scripture, he's hit this. But he's saying once again, all right, we speak not with man's wisdom. How many times do we think we know better than God? Oh, preacher, I would never know better. I would never say I know better than God. But we do that when we think we know better ways of living, better ways of doing, because we base it upon man's wisdom instead of following after God. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches, gives direction. Don't follow man's wisdom. Let me give some illustrations this morning. What's a man's wisdom? Man's wisdom is this. God says, husbands, love your wives. God's word says, wives, as your husband submits to God, you submit to him and you submit to the Lord together, living that life. Children, honor your father and mother, obey them. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. All come together for the glory of God. That's God's wisdom out of Ephesians there. Man's wisdom is, who is that man in the house to tell me what to do? I can do what I want. Yeah, I love my wife, but I tell you, you put me on a fishing boat. You put me out in the field hunting. That's more important than she is. Yeah, I'm to raise my children, nurture them, and admonish the Lord. I'll throw them a book or two. They can get the clue themselves. They should be able to figure it out. What's the problem? I got to honor my parents. Do you know what my dad is? Do you know what my mom is? I tell you, they're the biggest hypocrites you've ever seen if you only knew them. I don't have to honor them. And I can do whatever. That's the world's philosophy. What it's saying here is, as the Holy Spirit is announced, as the Holy Spirit is revealed, as the Holy Spirit, you're dependent upon the Holy Spirit, you see this, you realize you cannot follow man, you must follow God in your life. He's saying, Church of Corinth, as the Holy Spirit reveals his truth to you, don't base upon the words of man's wisdom, base things upon the things of God. But which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Okay, Holy Spirit teaches. We are to have a teachable spirit. We're to have a spirit where we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to direct us. Then it says this, compare spiritual with spiritual. What does that mean, compare spiritual with spiritual? It says compare spiritual things with spiritual, because there are some things that people will say that are spiritual things that aren't spiritual. There are some things that people said are religious things, now I'll use that carefully, that are religious things that aren't truly of God. There are some things that people put a stamp of Christianity on and says, this is what you need to take, hook, line, and sinker. You need to live, you need to do. That's not, goes against the word of God. There are some things that people say, this is what you should do in your life, but it's not really spiritual things because it's not spiritual. It may be religious, but it's not what God has for you. I want you to think about that for a moment. He's saying, don't follow man's wisdom, but follow the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to help you to discern which is truly of God and what is not truly of God. Do you know there is a lot of religious books out there today that will tell you how to live a Christian life? And there's some good helps in those. But you know, some of those books go against what the book says. And he's saying you got to compare that with that. In our world today, there are many churches today. Okay? Anyone know how many churches we have in the city of Napa? Anyone have a clue? My best calculation as I search this just to see, and I'm talking all churches. Anybody that calls himself a church. We wouldn't line up with them, but calls himself a church. Do you know in the city of Napa, there's close to 500 churches? There is close to 500 churches in the city of Napa. Now, some of those meet in homes, some meet in storefronts, some meet in buildings like this. Some meet out and about at parks and different places. There's all different types. But anything that you would consider a church, there's roughly about 500 of those in the city of Napa. Now, just because someone calls himself a church doesn't mean they are spiritual. Doesn't mean they line up with the things of God. Let's break this down. Just because someone calls himself a Christian or a believer does not mean that they are spiritual. Spiritual things does not always equal spiritual maturity. Spiritual things that we call religious things and things that we do does not always mean that we're growing in the things of God. There must be discerning. That's why the Bible says in 1 John, we need to try or test every spirit to see if it's of God or it's not of God. We must test it. This is why there are churches today that teach there's more than one way of salvation. there are churches in this community that teach you can be saved by doing good works. Now, they have a cross. They have Bibles. They have hymn books. They have Christian songs. They have all this. They have the spiritual things. But compare the spiritual things with the spiritual, with the Word of God, with the truth revealed to us. They say you can be saved by works. The Bible says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not based upon works. They say man can produce salvation in life. The Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, gave us salvation. We were dead in the trespasses of sin, but God saved us. And it's God that pulled us out of the miry pit and set our feet upon the rock. See, this is the spiritual things. This is the Bible that they use. This is the hymn books they use. This is the traditions they use. This is what they use, but compare it with the truth. There are some that have been taught many different ways when it comes to salvation and what it is. Don't take this and compare it with this. Compare it with the spiritual, the Word of God. And what you believe ought to line up. That's the discerning. That's the discerning that's given there. But the spiritual things with spiritual. Now look at verse 14. We see the direction of the Holy Spirit, but I want you to understand, as we see this, we see the announcement, we see the discernment, we see the dependency, we see the direction, but I want you to see also, as we look at this idea of not being shallow, this idea of the deeper things of God, the dismissal of spiritual truths. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Paul is saying this natural man, this unsaved man, this lustful man, this man that has never truly found faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this man that is still dependent upon his lust, his flesh, himself, does not accept or receive the spiritual things. Spiritual matters are considered foolishness to the unsaved man. The natural man is one that trusts the flesh and themselves and not depends upon the Holy Spirit. And that's why they look and they laugh and they mock the things of God. You know, the church of Corinth was in a wicked city, as we talked about when we first started this portion of Scripture. There was temples all around, and they would go and worship in the pagan temples. There was prostitution happening, and the goddesses and all the things that took place, and they would do that. Yet they see the true believer, and they see what the church of Corinth was doing. They see they were living, and they would mock those things because they were natural men, and they could not discern. They did not see. They did not understand why the church of Corinth was doing something different than what they were doing. It didn't make sense to them. You see, the natural man in this world will look at us, they will mock us, they will say, what are you doing? What are you thinking? That doesn't make sense. You ever talk to someone about the gospel? And as simple as the gospel is, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's repenting of our sins by faith, turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, putting our faith in him and him alone. They look at you and say, that doesn't make sense. That's just foolishness. You just have a crutch. You needed that religious crutch to get you through life. That's fine. If you need that religious crutch, you take that religious crutch. But I don't need it. That's the natural man who does not discern, does not have the Holy Spirit to discern them and understand their need. Now, we understand we are all dead, dead in the trespasses of sin. We understand that. And it was the Holy Spirit that when you got saved, if you're saved here this morning, opened your eyes, revealed His truth to you, and you saw your need of salvation. It was the Holy Spirit that revealed that to you and showed you and drew you unto Himself. But the natural man looks at it and laughs at it, mocks at it. And I believe we have many in our world today that mock the things of God. Just go to Hollywood for a minute. Turn on your television for a moment. Watch a news program for a moment. Watch some of those things that are being produced and shown, and watch for a moment. What do? They mock God and the things of God. And their agenda is to destroy the family and destroy the things of God and mock those things because they don't understand why we do it. Do you know, all the way back to when they used to do cartoons in the paper? You can find some old cartoons that they actually mocked God back then as well. In the cartoon drawings and that, they would put down and they would show a person with this big Bible and this idea, and they would write hypocrite right on there and the different things, and they would put down the things of God. Now, keep in mind this. This world does not understand and cannot understand. But those that are spiritual can understand and discern. This world dismisses the truth. But what do we need to do? We need to embrace the truth and understand the truth. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul is saying that the unsaved man really cannot penetrate into the full understanding of the realities of the Christian life. World cannot really understand it or see it, and they can't criticize you. They don't have the right to criticize you because they don't understand the truth. But he says we must understand the divine truth that God has given us, and we must understand the mind of Christ. What is this mind of Christ? To look at life from the Savior's point of view, it means to think God's thoughts and not think the world's thoughts. For hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. He says the spiritual minded one is one that the Holy Spirit reveals it, gives it, you discern, you depend, you get this understanding, and your understanding is to produce the mind of Christ in you. To produce the mind of Christ in you. I want you to us each understand this. The world laughs at us. Even so-called Christians will laugh sometimes at you who are trying to understand the things of God. But the purpose of us understanding the things of God, asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate, show us this, is so we can become spiritually mature and have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? To think and see things from God's way of thinking. Wow. He says the Spirit can get you to the place that you can understand the truth God wants for you, and you see it from God's way of seeing it. Now let me give some illustrations of this. How many know that your kids don't see things from the same point of view that you see things from? Now, as a parent, you've been around a little longer, right? You've gone through some things. You've dealt with some things. You've done some things you shouldn't have done. You've ate some things you shouldn't eat. You've been places you shouldn't have been. You've done things you shouldn't. And what do you try to do? From your point of view, you try to help that child. Now, how many know your child doesn't really appreciate you till they hit about 30 years old, usually? Because that's when they finally get smart and they realize mom and dad weren't as dumb as they thought they were, right? So So those that have younger kids, it gets better someday. At least that's what I'm told. All right, they get to that place that they finally understand. Why? But what happens? They finally get mature, and they finally understand, and they finally see that your point of view was the right point of view, and that's the point of view that they should have. Now, some of you, your kids are there, and they're not mature yet, so they maybe have to wait till they're 60 to become mature. But that's the idea. As you mature, you change, and you want that mind of God. You want that point of view that comes from God. So what is God's point of view? What's the mind of Christ? What's the way that God looks at it? Well, it's revealed to us in His Word through the Holy Spirit that the mind that we should have. What is the mind we should have? The mind that we should have is that we hate sin. Now, many times we say we need to love the sinner but hate sin. And I believe that. We need to love the sinner, but let's change that a little bit. I want you to get this. We need to love the sinner, but we need to hate our own sin. It is so easy that many times that we hate someone else's sin. I hate the sin that Brother Rex does, or Brother Rick does, or Brother Rich does. I hate their sin, but I need to hate my sin. And this is the idea as we look at this. I need to hate my sin. In discerning and understanding the spiritual things and having the mind of Christ is we need to hate the sin that we commit against God. The sin I commit against God. I need to hate that sin. Now, I tell you, this is a spiritual mature thing because it's so easy to point out everyone else's faults, everyone else's sins, what everyone else has done in their lives. But as I'm spiritually maturing and I want the spiritual things and I'm comparing it with spiritual and I'm living for God and I'm striving to have the mind of Christ, the mind of God, I realize that my sin is an abomination against God. And I get to that place in my life that I'm no longer a shallow believer, but I realize what I've done against my God. Again, not what someone else has done against God, but what I have done against God. And I realize when I have come short and I have fallen, that I've sinned against God. And that mind of Christ is that I ought to look at that sin as for what it is. It is sin against God. The mind of Christ. The Spirit illuminates His Word. It reveals. I grow. I hate sin. I hate my sin. I hate those things. I hate when I don't do right. I hate those things. But also, the mind of Christ is this. That I see the need of having compassion. That's the mind of Christ. The mind of God, the deep spiritual things. That's understanding the truth of the cross of Calvary. And understanding that Jesus came and He was moved with compassion when He saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion. The mind of God is understanding that when we look and we see individuals that need a Savior. We have the mind of God. The spiritual things realize it's not about me and what I want and my agenda. It's about taking the gospel to a lost and dying world and being moved with that compassion and having a burden for souls and sharing that gospel. That's the mind of Christ. That's understanding the spiritual things. That's understanding, yes, Church of Corinth, you have some struggles. You have some things happening in the church, but I want you to open your eyes. I want you to see that you need to have the mind of God and there's a mission field right around you and you need to share the gospel with them. It's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, the mind of God, is realizing what your mission is and your purpose. Jesus came to seek and to save them which were lost. Jesus did always those things in John chapter 8, verse 29. Jesus did always those things that pleased His heavenly Father. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will. The mind of God is this, to do the Father's will. The Holy Spirit illuminates, it reveals. We have the Holy Spirit at salvation. We're to discern, we're to depend upon, we're to see the difference between worldly and man's wisdom. We understand that the word laughs at God. We understand we need to take seriously the things of God. And as we take seriously the things of God, God reveals that truth to us and we grow spiritually. We compare the things together, make sure it's of God. And as we make sure it's of God, we grow in our Christian life. And as we grow in our Christian life, I have the mind of God and I want to do the will of God for my life. Do you know a person that is not being taught by the Holy Spirit, dependent upon the Holy Spirit, doesn't want to do the will of God? They want to do their will. What is will? Desire. You know, we always say the will of God, but what is God's desire for us is the way to look at it. We want to do our desire for our life. God desires certain things for your life. What does God desire? God desires that you grow. God desires that you love Him. God desires you follow His will. God's desire is that you're in His Word. God's desire is you let Him lead you, guide you, and direct you. God's desire, and we can keep going on and on. That's what God desires. God wants. And the spiritual mature, those that are not shallow, and as God is revealing and giving, want to know the mind of God and what God wants for them. You know what happens a lot of times? We come in and we already know what we think about something. And nobody's going to change my mind. That's not spiritual maturity. Do you know everyone in this room has room for improvement, myself included? Every one of us struggle daily. Every one of us need to grow, need to continue growing and maturing and knowing the mind of God better than we did before. Do you know there's some in this room, you've been saved longer than I've been alive. But do you know what? You still need to grow. Do you know there's some in this room? You understand things probably better than someone else in this room. But there's always room for improvement. There's always room for growth. There's always room for knowing the mind of God as we should. Paul said to the church at Corinth, the Holy Spirit searches and He reveals to you the deep things of God, the spiritual things of God, and He wants to reveal it to you, give it to you, so you can live for Him. The reason He reveals His word to us, this is key, please get this. The reason He reveals His word to us and illuminates His word to us is so we can live the way we ought to live. He's given us everything we need so we can grow. The Bible says grow in